Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 30th day, the last day of April 2024. And tonight we have, do we have a lot to cover. So we're going to get right into that. We have the fellow with the big hair on the board, none other than our producer, Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
All righty. Here we have, right here in the studio with me, Aaron. See, now that you've been here, we don't even have to give you a last name. Now you're a celebrity, okay?
Hello, hello.
All righty. And way out yonder, in the dusty trails, the Missouri legend, none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Yeah, still here, still kicking, ready to go to work.
And tonight, from Freedom Trail, unregistered New Testament Church, we have Pastor Steve Todd. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good evening. I thought when you said big hair, you were going to introduce me.
Yeah, I don't know. My hair is not so big anymore, I can tell you that. But anyhow, do we have a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to kind of get into it. Hey, Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
I believe it was Believe, Act, and Receive.
That's right, and we've been going all through that. And we're going to pick it up tonight in 2 Thessalonians. And so, Pastor Steve, you just go. If you have a question or a comment, just jump right in. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 13.
All right, through 15, right?
Yeah, go ahead and read 13 through 15.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle.
Well, you know, he starts out by telling them here that it was very clear that even from the very beginning, here, God chooses these Thessalonian believers to salvation before they were born. You know, we often kid each other, about being older than dirt. But literally, we existed in the mind of God before the earth, because before the foundations of the earth,
yeah,
we
knew which one of us would accept his offer and come to him and become one of his children.
Right. And so here, so first he chose them to salvation, then he called them as they heard the gospel and they believed the truth that were sanctified. That means to be set apart for the Lord Jesus. And by the Holy Spirit, eventually destined to be glorified to Christ. So to accomplish this, the Spirit, in a vision, first directed Paul to go to Greece and preach the gospel there. Now, Jesus said, many be called, but few be chosen. Boy, is that the case today? I can tell you, I would be surprised if 10% of those that fill the pews of churches today are saved.
I think of the small churches like when I've seen the real devout believers, at least out here in Missouri, are in the small country churches. That's where the real faithful diehards are. But it's the bigger churches that I think you're right. Very small percentage are really born again.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of them. We just came across two situations where these mega churches where the pastors told the congregation that his opinion, they really shouldn't get involved in any kind of politics at all. Now, that's an interesting situation because starting from Genesis to Revelation, every prophet, every priest, every pastor, and none ensued this like the Lord Jesus himself. Their politics and their faith were inseparable, Joe. They were one of the same. They were one of the same. And that's why we are to be the salt and light. And yet, you're hearing this, don't get involved in politics, Save your money and put it in the offering plate, right?
Yeah, just let the devil run things, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. One of the things, I've talked to so many dozens of pastors, and it seems like today's pastors, for the most part, really don't even want to get into sound doctrine or get into anything political or anything of real substance. And so, therefore, I think that's why we probably all agree that a lot of Christianity, so to speak, maybe don't even understand their salvation because real doctrine is not being taught today in the church. It's just programs and it's just feel good, seeker mentality kind of stuff.
Well, you're absolutely right. I have this thing for similarities. When I come across things that are similar, like we just preached a message out of Daniel, how the similarities between Daniel and President Trump. There's so many similarities between those two, and I had two ladies in the church that both came to the ministry at the same time. They volunteered. They were both born. They had the same birth date. They both were the only daughters, and they both had four brothers, and they both married men named Jim, and both of them had sons. And that was, like, to me, an amazing similarity. Now, they didn't know each other before they came to the ministry, okay? So when you see these things, these similarities, I'm often amazed. And you know what? I was talking, I had my train of thought, and I was thinking about that, but we're seeing, I lost my train of thought. I can't believe that.
You're saying Trump and Daniel have similarities.
That, well, those similarities, they were both presidents. They both had two other presidents, former presidents, who were out for their demise. They both had opposition from the judicial of their day, and they both had opposition from the legislators of their day, okay? And so, it was very, very similar. Daniel ended up in lion's den, and he was acquitted, and it looks like, they're trying to put Trump in lion's den. But I'll have to go back, and I'll come up with my thought there, because there was another similarity. But Henny, as we go through this, we see this for the first 20 years. For the first 20 years of the gospel, they didn't have any New Testaments. They had, you know, Paul kept some writings and others, but it wasn't until the last of the apostles died before the New Testament was written there, and they had that. Up until that, they had to have oral. They did oral through the church. They had to remember the apostles, what they said, and they recited things orally. But anyhow,
was 1 Thessalonians the first epistle?
No, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
No, I mean the first written epistle, was it 1 Thessalonians?
Some believe that. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, speaking of similarities, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
It's interesting how in these three verses that were read tonight, that he says we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. And he talks about how, you know, they're to hold fast the traditions, and whether by word or epistle. And there's several other times in 1 and 2 Thessalonians that he says something real similar about them. And in chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And it's interesting that he commends these Thessalonian believers for their work of faith. Now, we know that salvation is by grace through faith, so there's no works involved in our salvation. But he talks about the outworking of their faith. And so true believers really need to be active and involved and bold in their faith, and that's what he's commending these believers for, is their work of faith and their labor of love, and then their patience of hope. So you talked about similarities, that just kind of reminded me of these other passages that, in Thessalonians, where he's commending them for their active faith.
That just brought me to those two similarities I was just thinking of. We had our Thursday morning men's prayer breakfast years ago. We had pastors coming. We had one fellow was from the United Church of Christ, which is apostate as all Dickens. I mean, it's gone, and it has been. And we had another fellow who was a pastor of the American Baptist Church. And here's, like I said, the similarities is just unbelievable that these two guys would be there, and both of them belonged to their pastoral association, where in both cases they had 12 pastors. That's the way they would use it. The churches would have their association of 12 pastors. And both of these guys, I just couldn't believe, like I said, the similarities. Both of them said to me, and to all the pastors there at the breakfast, that how pleased they were now out of 12 pastors in both pastoral associations there, 5 of the 12 were saved now. And I remember Bob saying, I'm telling you.
Saved?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It's 5, both of them, yeah. And Bob was so happy. He says, Pastor, I'm telling you, he said, we've just had our 5th pastor now just received Christ as a Savior. And I said, Bob, I said, you got to come out of there. The Bible teaches, he says, we're going to change it from within. I said, no, you're not. The only way that's going to happen is you're going to have to leave there. You'll have to come out from amongst them, be you separate from them. And then you can go back as a missionary. But you're never going to change it if you stay in there, okay? Because they're going to see that as condoning that. But that was one of those similarities, like I thought was just absolutely amazing. What would the odds of that be? Two men, both of them, two different associations, both of them coming to the same breakfast. And these two, before the Thursday morning breakfast, didn't know each other either. Okay, and so, anyhow, here now, when he says this, that, therefore, brothers, stand fast. You know, that's part of the last, the Lord gives us three main missions. The three main missions are, one, first and foremost, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Two, from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, teaches resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And then three, you know, when you start with Noah, Shiphrah and Pua, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they all obeyed God and not a corrupt government, okay? And then the last one you find right here, therefore, brethren, stand fast.
Fast, yes.
And hold the traditions that you have been taught, whether it be by word or by epistle. Now, we have, there's good traditions and bad traditions within the church. In our church, for example, we hold to the traditions of baptizing, and we baptize people under confession of faith. We don't baptize infants. We hold to the Lord's table. We take the first Sunday of every month is when we do the Lord's table. We hold to the tradition and the teaching of men pastors, no women pastors. There was never any of the women apostles. There was never any leaders of the 12 tribes. There was none of the writers of the 66 books. None of those that were involved with the compiling the King James Bible, in fact. And there were none of the Old Testament prophets there were women. These were all men. And we hold to the teaching that women are not to, in the church, assume authority over the man where it comes to teaching. We have another tradition in our church that's meet and greet, okay? Every Sunday we shake hands. We have a meeting where we greet each other. We shake hands and we give each other a hug. And then we have another tradition that families set together when they come into the church. I like to have families. See, I don't like, unless the children are very young, if the children are 5 years old or older, I believe the children should sit with their parents. And here's the reason for that, you see. Listen to this. I came up with this. Now, hardly anyone knows this. But the goal of parents are to teach their children and prepare them to become adults. Now, hardly anybody knows that. In other words, so how do you do that? Well, there are times, believe me, in my life, there are times that you have to reverence the moment. In other words, there are times when you have to, as a child, you learn, your parents teach you to sit and be quiet, okay? At funerals, at weddings, and at church service. And I know children have to learn, but it's the parents' job to teach the children, okay? And this is one of the reasons why I was so big in homeschooling, too, here. I was one of the real founders, Steve, on the homeschooling movement here back in the 70s. We got it off the ground. And so those are some of the traditions, and we have another tradition coming up that not everyone's real excited about, but it's the church cleanup day every year. We have a tradition where we pull maintenance out of church. Everybody comes, and we clean up the church from top to bottom, okay? So those are some of the church traditions that we stand fast, that we hold to, and we don't allow the world to take us away and change. Today, it's just, for example, John MacArthur just preached a message, and I don't agree with John MacArthur on everything, but he was spot on when he was talking about, he had all the stats, and today, 27% of the pastors in the pulpits are women of churches. 27%.
Wow.
Okay, but that's not even the worst. Over 60% of those in the pulpits in this country don't have a problem with that. Okay? So you say, it's like, well, you know, there's almost 200 versions of the Bible today, so I could just go find one that's in line with what I want to believe. And that's...
Well, you
that's,
could always write your own.
Well, that's true, too, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, if there's 200 versions, what's keeping you from writing one that says exactly what you want it to say?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what's keeping my fear of God. That's keeping me.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. Yeah.
We were just listening to, who was that we were just listening to? We went on before. He's one of the apostate preachers, and he was saying, and I'm having one of my senior moments right now.
Duplantis.
Yeah, Jesse Duplantis. He was talking about how how every now and then Jesus, you know, comes into his office and just sits and fellowships with him. And yeah, I'm not kidding you. Okay, we just heard him preaching. He was just preaching this. We were listening to him, and how the Lord came in the other day and he seemed down. And Jesse said, "What's, you know, you seem down?" And Jesus told him he wasn't having a good day. And Jesse says, "Come over here, let me hug up on you a little bit, and we'll fix this." So I don't think I believe Jesse, but if you look at the amount of people that were there, unbelievable how today people are becoming. I mean, it's just unbelievable how gullible. And
well, Paul, the Apostle Paul tells us in the last days there'll be a falling away of sound doctrine and truth, and perilous times are going to come. So, I mean, you hate to see it, and you want to stand against it, but at the same time, you know, that's what our Lord tells us is going to be the case in these last days.
Absolutely, and we're living it real time. We're seeing it real time right now. You're right, because yeah. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then one time in Peter, in the other places, Steve, you know, the Lord would say in later times or end times, but here he's very specific about the last part of the sixth dispensation period, the last days. And then everything he tells you, the litany after that, we see today. Everything. It's exactly the way he said it would be. And so, you know, so those are the days. So we understand this. This is why we do hold to the teachings. No compromise, no changing for us. And by the way, I should tell the folks out there that you pastor an unregistered New Testament church, too. And yeah. So yeah. Why don't you?
Christ is the only head of the church.
Absolutely. That's right. He's the only head. You know, when people don't realize if you're a 501c3, you're not a church. You agree in a contract with the state that you're a corporation. Corpus means non-living creation of the state. The church is the living body of Christ. Can you be both a lot non-living and living at the same time?
Nope.
Now, the state says that it is the head, and that the pastor, if you look that up in Black's Law, the word they use, the pastor is an agent for the state. So that's got two definitions. One is a intercessor between the assembly and the state. The other is a spy for the state against the assembly. And that's right in there in the 501c3 contract.
No matter what 501c3 pastors say, well, if it comes right down to it, you know, yeah, Christ is the head of the church, but they sign a document ceding headship to the state. So whether they really realize it or not, I know when I first got into pastoring, I was a 501c3 for a couple of years. I didn't really know the difference, and it was shown to me. And so we ditched that church and started another one that was an unregistered church. Because as soon as you see it, if you're honest, you know, with your faith, you got to say, well, you know, the Bible says Christ is the head of the church, and I can't have, you know, you can't have Christ and the state be head of the church. It's one or the other.
Right. What? You have to choose, right? Just like choosing Christ, it's a choice.
Exactly.
Anything with two heads is a monster, huh?
Yeah.
What year did they create the 501c3?
1954. That was
goes back that far.
Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Baines Johnson. Yep. Yeah. LBJ.
Yeah, and so here, but you know, Steve, when we first started talking about this years ago, Our church was the only one I knew in the area, and I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago, that was not a 501c3. And so now there's about 30 unregistered New Testament churches in the area. Tell the
Praise
folks.
The Lord for that.
Yeah. We're going to be back right after this. Hang tight.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ brought in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Justice by the people. Corrupt government, media, big tech, foreign enemies have used machines and corrupt big city minions to falsify elections for decades. Corrupt judges and lawyers have been overthrowing our constitutions, civilization, and the rule of law. These corrupt forces enslave productive America, demonize and intimidate Christian patriots and all Caucasians. They erase our culture. They open the floodgates of illegal alien cheap labor and sure votes. They outlaw truth and constitutional restraints to turn the new world into another Europe. The hijacking began during Lincoln's war with a 12-year reconstruction that followed Washington, D.C., slipped to the Constitution's chains, replaced silver U.S. dollars demanded by law with worthless paper, killed the state militia, and then, in state after state, began killing off the guard or the grand jury, the people's thousand-year-old institution to arrest criminals. No state can deny or abolish grand jury. That violates the U.S. Constitution, yet state legislators have all but done so, and state judges resist impaneling grand jurors, all because we're ignorant of civics. Grand jury is half of the people's agent law enforcement, and the other half is militia. Tactical Civics has launched hundreds of county chapters to restore both institutions to maintain law by arresting corruption before America is lost. Now I just read all of that from The Grand Jury Awake by David Zuniga. And now here tonight, Steve, Todd is the leader, or would you call yourself the president of the Tactical Civics in Lake County?
I wouldn't say I'm the president. I'm kind of somewhat the leader of the group up here at this point. I didn't really volunteer for that, but I, it kind of seems to be, you know, they kind of asked me to kind of head this up for at least for now. So
you got pushed into it like most people get a job like that.
Well, he's the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
You just kind of sit up and do what you got to do sometimes.
I know exactly how you feel. I got set up one time for the tea party when the president had retired and couldn't belong because he was taking a political job. We were standing there, and a fellow behind me who is a judge there at the, Court of Appeals. He was the judge of one, and he still is the Court of Appeals. He was standing behind me, and he says, "I nominate Pastor," and he puts his hand on my shoulder. Another one, the next guy over was a county commissioner, and he said, "I second the motion," and all in favor, and the whole place erupted. So I ended up being president there for four terms at the Tea Party. But anyhow, so did that kind of like what happened to you?
Well, you know, I actually have not been a member of Tactical Civics, but only for about 2 or 3 months. And I found out about it from somebody in California I was having the conversation with, and they said, "You need to check this out." So I got online, looked at it. It made a lot of sense to me, and it seemed like, and what they purported to be, which I believe is the case, the only really full-spectrum solution to the unconstitutional government and overreach of government and corruption in government that we have going on right now. And the thing that impressed me about it is, number one, it was a Christian-based organization. It's a lawful, peaceful membership organization established to take America back one county at a time. You know, they say all politics is local. And that's the case, really, if we really want to get the government back to a constitutional basis. And really, what this whole thing is about is us, as we the people, enforcing the Constitution. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in, both spiritually and in the country, is because, you know, people aren't standing and fighting, and as far as the country is concerned, enforcing the Constitution. We've let politicians take over what we're actually supposed to be doing. We, the people, are basically the highest law in the land. I mean, we the people give the government the duties that it's supposed to take on, and you know, they've overreached that to the nth degree, but it's because we the people have allowed it. So
you're absolutely right. It's ignorance, yeah, and apathy, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, you know, and you look in everything that I look about in Tactical Civics, I relate to Bible issues. And you look at Israel and their apostasy and problems. It was all due to, first, complacency, and which leads to compromise, which ultimately leads to corruption. And that's exactly what's taking place in this country.
Absolutely. We're seeing total anarchy out there today. People don't realize, you know, it's like, you know, we've been saying here, these, as far as these overprivileged, unthankful, ungrateful college kids out there that are, you know, they kind of, those communists in the universities created a monster, and the monster's turning on them now, isn't it? And yeah. But, it is. It's turning on them. But, you know, what we were saying, Steve, look, they're spending Columbia University $60,000 a year. We can teach those young women how to carry a sign, how to put stuff on their head, how to scream and yell. Now, we won't teach them profanity, okay? But we could do that for $1,000 a year, not 60, okay?
Yeah, right.
And so,
yeah.
And their parents, yeah.
The government a lot of money. Yeah,
yeah, that's what we would do. And we're trying to get that across to their parents, right? Not only that, you know, we wouldn't have to, they wouldn't have to come and bail them out of jail. You see what's happening now. George Soros, the Communist Party, is bailing them out and sending them right back out there.
Yeah, and so, the kids know that.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. See.
Oh, did you hear the worst part of it? The ones that were being there at Columbia, they were complaining. They said, well, you know, we are tuitioning them to free meals, you know, and they should be bringing us our meals and water. And they were complaining about they could possibly die of thirst and hunger while they protested taking over the Columbia, you know, college, or, I mean, you know, the campus. And but they were complaining that the Columbia didn't bring them food and water while they were protesting. I thought it was hilarious.
How many of them actually know what they're protesting?
I have a funny feeling that most of them are, you know, brain dead. They've been brainwashed. And do you remember, Pastor Ernie, years ago we talked about stuff coming out of the Tavistock Institute this long, long time ago, and they dealt with brainwashing and misinformation. And they had some programs that they thought that if were done early enough to the young people, the brainwashing would last a lifetime.
Yeah.
I remember we did that story about the Tavistock Institute and the problems that they caused to the world. So I think a lot of these students are brainwashed. They get them wrapped up emotionally and get them charged up. They're out there saving the world, and they're...
Well, we have to actually get back to tactical civics because that's what we want people to know about.
Okay, yeah.
And so here... tactical civics is a way, one thing that we can do is we can bring our county back that we can have a grand jury by the people. One of the things, Steve, people don't realize because they get snookered. They get snookered by these prosecutors. Did you know that the one office, I taught courses on Satanism, and I mentioned this before, but I spent time with Tom Wedge, who ran the very elite police department, the only one of his kind in the entire country where they only went after, say, cases of Satanism. But the one office, more than any other office, that Satanists covet is prosecuting attorneys, whether they're county, whether they're state or federal. And the reason for that is twofold. One, Steve, is because they're the ones that decide how a case is going to be heard. And number two, they're the ones more than any other that become judges. And so here now, these county prosecutors are not supposed to be the ones running the grand jury. The grand jury is supposed to, you have a foreman, they decide on if there's going to be an indictment, then they go to the county prosecutor and they say, they tell them, not the other way around. But nobody knows that. It's just like you were saying, just like the biblical literacy goes hand in hand today with current events, huh?
That's exactly the truth. And you know that's the thing about tactical civics is David Zuniga has written about I don't know a dozen or so books, but there's over 40 people over a period of about 20 years now. With about you know something like 60,000 hours of research and work dedicated to putting this in place and getting this to where there's actual explicit detailed plan and mechanisms for us to take the country back to we the people on a county by county basis. Now, I can tell you, when you talk about this kind of stuff, I think it's important that I put right out there up front that this is not about revolution. This is not about anarchy or overthrowing the government. We have a fantastic, you know, God-given government in our Constitution. So it's just about enforcing the great Constitution that we have. And, you know, it's our government, and we've got to enforce it. So I would encourage people to check out tacticalcivics.com. And there's, you know, lots of books, there's lots of shows and discussions and talking heads about all the problems and all those kind of things. And there's some good educational things out there on the Constitution. There's, you know, Hillsdale, Patriot Academy, you know, this show. There's a lot of good people teaching the right things. But I've only ever found one system with a laid out solution step by step on how to take the government back to we the people. So, and I, the only thing I've ever found that really fits the bill is tacticalcivics.com or Tactical Civics, and you can check it out on tacticalcivics.com. And, you know, we've been talking here and there about, you know, the small number of people that are really willing to be involved. And that's the other really great thing about Tactical Civics. You only need 0.5% of the population of your county in order to enforce and get the things done you need to take the county back and the government back. So, for instance, in Lake County, Ohio here, we have about 230,000 people in the county. So we only need about 1,200 to 1,250 people. That's not a lot of people in that population size. So you don't need the masses, because the masses are never going to respond, just like with the gospel. You know, I mean, you can give the gospel out to 100 people, and how many are going to accept Christ? It's going to be probably a small percentage. So I've always said in you know, all the 25 years of my ministry, that if you take 100% of the people, only 20% of that are going to care about the issues and even complain about it. And then 20% of that, which is 4%, is going to be willing to really study the word and stand for the truth. And then only 20% of that group, which is then 0.8%, are going to be able to, you know, forge forward and really fight the good fight of faith and really have an effect. So we don't need the masses to, I think the masses will fall in line once they see things getting done. But we only need 0.5% of the population in any county to enact the things that we need to take the government back.
Well, the enemy knew that, and that's exactly the tactics they used to take the government away from the way it was. Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, the majority weren't communist in the beginning. And yeah. Today, again, you know, there is no longer a Democratic Party. It's that they're flat out communist. I mean, we're in the midst of a communist revolution in our country right now. That's the reality of what is going on. And yeah. So, but you're right now, there's about 3,300 counties in the United States to begin with. And yeah. We now, from what I've been told, that out of the 3,300 counties, there's chapters in 2,100 counties. Are you are familiar with that?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right.
And so that tells you that this thing is moving. I know
it's
yeah. But the big question is, how much time do we have time? It looks, you know, well, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We know that what the opposition would want to move very quickly. We see this. Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of this United States. He has been. He was never defeated in an election. We knew that that thing was stolen. It was corrupted from the very beginning. We have a two-tier government here now with this deep state. We do not have a Department of Justice. We do not have an FBI. That is simply a part of the communist collective. The FBI that I once knew growing up, when I had friends, they would fight communism. Today they've joined communism. And so they're no longer government of the people by the people, but government against the people. And just like we were talking about when our sheriff came out and spoke to us at the church here about a week ago today, was it?
Probably 2 weeks.
Okay. Anyhow, in the process, we had standing room only in the church. I had only invited 30 people, and three times that amount came out. And so what happened, people here, Steve, you thought, what is the major concern with what's happened? Everybody knows it's going to be a hot summer. The country's going to be on fire. Was it Antifa? Was it burn, loot, and murder? Was it Hamas? What was it? Do you know what? About 9 out of 10 people, their number one concern was having jackbooted thugs breaking into their houses in the middle of the night and sticking guns in the face of the children. And they're referring to the FBI.
Yeah.
That's where we're at today in this country. So we have to take our country back.
Yeah, it's imperative. And, whether it's the gospel or whether it's the Constitution, who knows when the Lord's coming back and who knows how long we have as a country, but every day, we got, like the Bible says, we got to redeem the time.
And keep fighting the fight.
Exactly. Because we were talking about the campuses, what's going on there, and the youth that are just so delusional and off base on everything. Ephesians 6:12 says we're in a spiritual battle. And I think sometimes we, even us maybe sometimes fail to recognize that it's been taken over by liberals and crazy leftists, but there's a power and a spiritual force behind that, and we know that that's a satanic policy of evil. So, we are in a spiritual battle, and the gospel is going to be the key thing that we've got to get out there. Because, if more people get saved, more people are going to have the proper worldview and be able to, to maybe speak truth to these people. But we still got to battle for our freedom, and that's in, Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We the people have the power to take the government back if we will do so. But, first and foremost, we got to get back to God, and we got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So.
2 Chronicles 7:14 is where we start, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But now Tactical Civics, it's only $5 a month to join, or $50 for the year, and then with that you have all kinds of good curriculum available, books and that, to help you get... Yeah, go ahead.
That's a really good point. It is only $5 a month. I joined for the year because I didn't want to mess with $5 a month.
Me too. I joined for the year too.
I just joined for the year for $50. And that is a great point because you do get all of the resources that they have available, which are a massive amount of resources on, constitutional grand jury, constitutional, state militia. You probably all heard of the World Economic Forum and the Klaus Schwab, the Great Reset.
Harari,
David Zuniga's latest book is The Great Reset, W-E, The Great Reset, where, we the people, we have the ability, we just got to have the gumption to take our government back. But that's only one of about a dozen books that he's written and resources. So all of the resources are available for $5 a month. You can't, it's almost unbelievable. So,
is there any reference to Steve, is there any reference to the Black Robe Regiment with Tactical Civics?
I've only read four of the books so far. I'm preparing messages and reading a lot of this. So I've read everything. I'm in the process of reading more. So I don't know specifically if the Black Robe Regiment stuff is in there, but I'm telling you, the amount of information and research that's been put into this, I was amazed at. And that's what gave me confidence in the system is that this is not a recent idea or a recent, you know, whim. There's 20 years of research and documentation and mechanisms outlined to actually accomplish this goal. So for $5 a month, you get all the resources that, and so you can read and take in whatever you want. And if you don't want to continue your membership, you don't have to, but it's definitely worth joining just to find out about it and have the resources available.
Well, you know, just like the left is paranoid with Trump derangement, now we're seeing, and I hear within, and within the alternative media, in other words, you know, the supposed to be us, we're seeing the opposition has gotten into, and they're coming against tactical civics. Tactical civics has got them worried. They're seeing it working. And again, so you've had, just like here in Ohio, you got the Rhino Blue 22 Democrats, and we warned people that these Democrats were registering and running as Republicans, and they had voted for Biden, they voted for Obama, and now they're running for as Republicans. And so that's exactly what's happening in the alternative media. They're going in there as conservatives, but they're really not. And so
wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, they're absolutely. And there's only a very small percentage of the pastors in the pulpit. The vast majority of my hirelings, they're not shepherds.
Yeah.
That atones for the big dearth of courage. There's such a dearth of courage in the pulpit, you know.
And you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing, he can only get be under that sheep's wool for so long, and it gets hot, and he starts baring his teeth, and pretty soon you can pretty easily find out who the wolves are, you know, when you get right down to it.
Folks out there in Lake County, they want to get in touch with you. How would they do that?
You know, you can, my first and foremost, I would say tacticalcivics.com. Check that out. And then if you want to get a hold of me, my number is 330-639-5113. And you can give me a call if you have questions about it or, you know, want to chat about it.
Say it. Now, say that slower again. Give that number because people are looking for pins. Okay, and get that.
Hey, are you ready? Everybody got their pen handy.
We're ready.
630-639-5113.
All righty, very good. And again, give your church a plug, too.
Yeah, Freedom Trail Church. We're, you know, unregistered, independent, Bible-believing church. We've been, we just started this work about 6 months ago here. I was a pastor down in Stark County for about 18 years, moved up here about 6 or 7 years ago, you know, preached and taught at a couple different places out of my main church. And then we started this Freedom Trail Church about 6 months ago and just have, you know, a really great group of people who are real serious about the word. We have a big, huge, big breakfast every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then we have service at 10. We do a Bible study every Sunday evening at 6. And then once a month we have a great singer-songwriter music thing every first Sunday of the month. So Sunday, May 5th, we've got a nationally touring duo, acoustic duo that's coming in to do music. So we do a lot of good things, all Christ-centered.
All right, very, very good. We're coming up to a break. You're welcome to stay with us if you'd like. And we cover a number of other issues. But we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 4-4-0-6-5. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.